Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians. We'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 of Philippians. And it is found on page 1024 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Our second scripture reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And it is found on page 910 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Came across a story the other day that I thought was somewhat humorous. It's one afternoon, a shopper at a local mall felt the need for a coffee break, and so she brought herself a little bag of cookies and put them in her shopping bag. She then got in line for coffee and found a place to sit at one of the crowded tables. And then, taking the lid off her coffee and taking out a magazine, she began to sip her coffee and read. Across the table from her, a man sat reading a newspaper, and after a minute or two, she reached out and took a cookie. As she did, the man seated across the table also reached out and took a cookie as well. This put her off, but she didn't say anything, and a few moments later, she took another cookie, and once again, the man did so too. And now she was getting a little bit upset, but still she did not say anything. After having a couple of sips of coffee, she once again took another cookie, and so did the man. She was really beginning to be upset, especially since now there was only one cookie left. Apparently, the man also realized that only one cookie was left, and before she could say anything, he took it, broke it in half, offered half to her, and proceeded to eat the other half himself. Then he smiled at her, and putting his paper under his arm, he rose and walked off. And now she was really mad. Her coffee break was ruined. Already thinking ahead of how she was going to tell this offense to her family, she folded her magazine, opened her shopping bag, and there discovered her own unopened bag of cookies. Today is the last Sunday before our national holiday of Thanksgiving. Next Thursday, together with family and friends, we'll all be hunkered down around the traditional fixings of a Thanksgiving feast as we give thanks to God for the manifold blessings in our lives. Thanksgiving is a time of year when we recognize that we've all been eating out of God's bag of cookies. In fact, it's the time of year when we recognize that God's cookies are the only cookies there are, because everything belongs to God. As the psalmist tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything therein. Thanksgiving is in part a matter of seeing. It's a matter of seeing God's grace and mercy in our lives. You know, when we stop to think about it, everything that we have belongs to God. And when you stop to think about it, all the miracles that take place are miracles that we should be able to discern. They take place all around us. Large miracles and small miracles happen all the time. None of us can cause the sun to shine. None of us can cause the rain to fall, or the grass to grow, or the birds to sing. None of us can rotate the earth on its axis or cause the seasons to change. All of these things are done through the grace of a loving and caring God. And yet how easy it is for us to be blinded to the grace-filled wonder of our lives and the grace-filled wonder in the world. That's one of the reasons I like the Thanksgiving holiday, because even in our market-driven society, where we are tempted to believe that we are self-sufficient and self-made, we are prompted to stop, to see God's grace in our lives, and to offer our gratitude. Indeed, it is often said that gratitude is not only the purest measure of one's character, but it's also the purest measure of one's spiritual condition. It's indicative of the fact that all of the things that we have is a gift from God, to be lived out in response to God's grace. That is to be lived out in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving and gratitude to God. If you want to gauge the spiritual condition of a people's soul, watch and see how grateful they are. I've long been concerned that as a nation that has been blessed with so much, we have been infected with a spirit of entitlement. We believe that we are entitled to have certain things. We're entitled to a certain kind of lifestyle. We are entitled to have good health. We are entitled to a decent job and an education. We are entitled to family and friends and warm relationships. We often believe that we are entitled to these things. And if we don't get them, then we begin to be filled with a sense of deprivation, despite the fact that in many other areas of our lives, we know that we've been blessed. Entitlement tells us that we don't owe anyone anything, and that we don't have to be responsible for anyone. It's all about my rights, my privileges. It's all about what is due to me. There's nothing more detrimental to a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude than the sense that we are entitled to things. Entitlement prevents us from being able to see God's grace operating in our lives. I was talking the other day to a pastor in the community whose church runs a care closet where food and clothing are distributed. She was telling me that one of the biggest tasks that she has is getting people to say thank you. Not thank you to her, but getting people to realize that everything is a gift from God. That we are all experiencing the grace of God in the things that are given to us. The food that people eat is a grace from God. And she wants the people who come in to understand that. And so she attempts to teach them to say thank you. Thank you to God. I believe that all of us have experienced the frustration of doing something for someone and not having them to return thanks and gratitude for what we do. Last night, as I was reflecting on the supper that we had earlier in the evening and was enjoying a salad that I took home from that supper, I realized that I had neglected to thank all of those who worked so very hard to make that dinner available. And yet we know that we experienced a good time because of God's grace operating through the gifts of those who helped to prepare that meal and who helped to plan that evening for us. We all, at some point or another, are forgetful of the fact that God has blessed us and does bless us in many, many ways, and that the posture that we ought to have before God and before one another is a posture of gratitude and thanksgiving. I remember when I was a young man who had graduated from college, moving to Atlanta, me and my younger brother, and things were not going well, and for a period there, I believed that I was somehow entitled for things to go well. I was entitled to find a good job. I was entitled to make a good living. I was entitled to all of those things. But then it occurred to me that I wasn't entitled to anything. That everything that comes to us is through the grace of God. And it's instead of feeling entitled, that I ought to start saying thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you've given me. Thank you that I have my brother here with me, that I have someone here that could support me and help me. Thank you for all the people you've brought into my life. Thank you for the friends and the associations that I made. Thank you for a loving family back home that supported me. Thank you for everything that you've given me. No, I'm not entitled to anything. It all comes as a result of God's grace in our lives. That's what I like about our story this morning from the Gospel of Luke. We are told that Jesus is traveling in a border town somewhere in the region of Samaria, which would have been dangerous territory for Jews. Many of you know that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along very well. They didn't trust each other. They didn't like each other. So most Jews wouldn't have been caught dead in the region of Samaria. But this is where Jesus is at in our text this morning. And as he travels, he comes across a colony of lepers. 10 people with the dreaded skin disease of leprosy. 9 of them, we are told, are Jews. They're people of God, people of the promise, people of the law and the prophets. And one of them, we are told, is a hated and despised Samaritan, a foreigner, a person of a rival religious tradition. But they are all lepers. Sickness and disease are no respecter of persons. They don't recognize our neat divisions of race and religion. And so this community of lepers are one in their defilement, one in their isolation and separation from the larger society. And so they cry out when they see Jesus coming, Master, have mercy on us. Help us. The text says that Jesus sees them and hears them and sends them on their way to be examined by a priest. But while they are on their way, they are healed. They are made clean. And we can imagine their joy and their zeal and the sense of exuberance that they must have felt. I'm clean. I'm whole. I've been healed. I can get on with my life. I can resume my life, resume my relationships, get back with my family. I can begin to live my life again. It's all fine and well, but the text tells us that nine of them did not come back. Nine of them did not turn around. Nine of them didn't show any gratitude whatsoever for God's grace in their lives. Perhaps because as children of the promise, children of the law and the prophets, they felt a sense of entitlement. We're entitled to be healed. We're entitled to be made whole. We are God's people, so we are entitled to that. But one of them, a dreaded Samaritan, when he sees that he is healed, he turns back and praising God, he falls to Jesus' feet and he thanks Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for making me whole. Perhaps this Samaritan, this outcast, recognized more readily than the others that he is not entitled to anything, that his healing is the result of the unmerited grace of a loving God, a God that he recognizes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes back to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace. Imagine a world where we are all like this Samaritan. Imagine a world where we all celebrate life, not as an entitlement, but where we come to celebrate life as pure gift. Instead of being uptight about what we don't have, imagine if we spent our time giving thanks for all the things that God has blessed us with. I was taught that one of the ways to express thanks for a gift is to pass it on. The Bible says, to whom much has been given, much is expected. We need to pass on the gifts that we have, the gifts that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading last night the plaque outside in the hallway of all the people who served in World War I, people who served their country and who gave us the gift of freedom. They passed that on to us. It was a gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We were able to receive that gift from them and from others. And we are called to pass that gift of freedom on to others. Pass on the gift that we have for living in a nation that is free and strong. We are called upon to pass on the gifts that we have received. Some of us have received gifts of education. We need to pass that gift on. Pass the skills that we've received on to others. Some of us have received the gift of this faith community, this building, this church. It was a gift bequeathed to us through previous generations, and we need to pass it on. Some of us were given special talents by God, not special talents for ourselves, but special talents to be used and passed on and shared to others. We need to pass it on. Perhaps you have something to pass on here this morning. Perhaps you prayed to God for deliverance and God heard your prayer and delivered you and you kept on going. Perhaps you were sick and asked God to heal you and God heard your prayers and healed you, but you kept on going. Perhaps you prayed for your children and God heard your prayers and granted your prayers, but you kept on going. If that's true, if you kept on going today during this season of Thanksgiving, would be a good time to turn around, to come back to the God who gives life, the God who can make us whole. I often wondered, when reading the Bible, about Jesus and how he felt as he engaged many of the people that he engaged. We know that Jesus touched the lives of many, many people. He healed people that needed to be healed. He comforted people that needed to be comforted. He brought the joy of the kingdom to people who were bereft of hope. He brought all of that. And yet I wonder how many people ever stopped to say thank you to Jesus. I wonder how many people ever took the time to write Jesus a thank you note. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for touching my life. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for setting me straight. I was lost, and I want to thank you for finding me. I was troubled, and I want to thank you for delivering me. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder how many of us say thank you to Jesus. We are this morning all people who've experienced God's grace. We are here this morning as people who've experienced the gift of life that only God can bring, the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all experienced that good life. Maybe we have not been cured of leprosy. Maybe we have not been cured of some debilitating disease. Maybe we have not been lost the way some people have been lost and needed to be found, but we have all experienced God's grace. At one time, we too were all cut off. At one time, we too were all separated and isolated from God. At one time, we too were all dead in our sins, but in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been granted a grace that none of us are entitled to. And we are called to turn around in joy and thanksgiving to the only one who can make us whole, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe it was Meister Eckhart who once said that if the only prayer we pray is to say thank you, that would be enough. Every time we pray, every time we say thank you to God, we are reminding ourselves that we are dependent upon the grace of God. Every time we pray over our food, we remind ourselves that the food comes to us by way of God's gift. Every time we pray in a hospital, we remind ourselves that we're not entitled to good health, but good health comes to us as a result of God's grace. Sometimes people come and they say, well, I don't feel very thankful. How do you feel thankful? How do you assume a thankful disposition? Well, we begin by simply giving thanks. We begin by giving thanks for everything. And once we begin to think about all the things we have to be thankful for, we begin to live into a spirit of thanksgiving. Just tell God, thank you. Thank you for waking me up in the morning. You didn't have to do that, but thank you. Thank you for the good health that I enjoy. I don't have to have that good health, but you gave it to me, and I want to thank you for it. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my wife and my husband. You didn't have to give them to me, but I want to thank you for it. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for allowing me to be able to sustain myself through a job. Thank you for all of those things. Just try thanking God for all the things that God has done for us. And before you know it, you will be a thankful person. Before you know it, you'll begin to live into that disposition of gratitude that is essential for us to be made whole, because we come through it to understand that our lives are dependent upon the just and gracious God. God gave us Jesus so that we may be thankful. God gave us Jesus so that we might come to recognize how dependent that we are on God. Jesus came a long journey looking for us, who in our hunger fed us, in our loneliness has found us, in our weakness he has strengthened us, in our loneliness he befriends us, in our troubles he delivers us. And in our dying, he saves us. Tell thank you to God. Express your thanks to the God who is the ground of our lives, the God who has given us everything because he has given us his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us life and who has given us that life in abundance. And there's nothing more that you could ask for than the joyous life that comes from knowing him. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, again we give you thanks. We cannot thank you enough for all that you have given us. We give you thanks, Lord, for the faithfulness of previous generations of saints who have shown us through their example what it means to say thank you. And we give you thanks too, Lord, for the many ways that you have touched each and every one of our lives through your love and through your mercy, through the smile of a stranger that tells us that we are loved, through the good deeds of those who are there for us when we are feeling lonely and frightened. We ask, Lord, that you help us to pass that grace on. Help us to say thank you, not just in word, but help us to say thank you indeed. Help us to respond to the grace of your love for us in joy and thanksgiving by going out and by living the life that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to live. A thankful life, a life of gratitude, a grace-filled life that is aware of the great wonders and miracles that take place all around us, both the big ones and the small ones. Help us to continue to say thank you in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.